Oftentimes, I point out to people, if the only reason you want to leave is because you want to get away from something, you need to first figure out where do you want to go to. You should always be going towards something, not running away from something. Running away is fear-driven. Going towards is more self-driven or directed or more moving towards a vocation. You're doing the work, the hard work to figure out, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. Not what do I want to leave, but what do I actually want to move towards?
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by the Going North Advancement Compass, available now on Amazon.com. It is an interactive journal for you to track your personal growth, track your goals, track your wins, and help you advance north to your next level of success. So pick it up today and get growing. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel, Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special awesome human for you today, my friends. That's right, today another super special awesome human, a treat that's good enough to eat 20 times over. That's right, indeed. You heard that right, folks, 20 times over, indeed, because you're going to be in for one heck of a man like this, because today's wonderful guest, my goodness, folks. I like to say, duh, man, like, what are you doing? You taking steroids, all that content you're putting out there? Like, well, no. Well, today's guest, my man's really got the steroids metaphorically when it comes to this magical content, because he's got a fellow bookcaster on the show, y'all. A wonderful, award-winning, best-selling bookcaster. I'm speaking it to existence for, because not only has he now joined the business of immortality, his first book that's coming out probably the day after this goes live, but also he is a fellow podcast host with 1,400 plus episodes and counting, and yours truly was on one of them indeed, because today's wonderful guest is not only that, he's also a father, a husband, a certified human behavior senior consultant, as well as a stewardship coach, which is the first ever for this show, y'all. So let's give it up for the show stopping and the magical Scott Maderer. How you doing today, Scott?
I am doing fantastic. You know, I always love it when people start doing the intro and I start looking around for like, who is he talking about? oh, wait, yeah. Wait. That's me. Never mind.
Yeah, it's like, nope, it's all you, buddy. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Even if it's another version of Scott, it's like, yep, it's all you, buddy.
Yeah, well, bios, you know, I actually talk about that on my show occasionally, that, you know, bios sometimes are kind of like they're kind of like the Instagram photos of our life, right? We pick out all the really good stuff. We make sure we frame the picture well so that the, you know, what's in the background isn't the, how shall we say, the dirty laundry, right? You know, we try to make sure that, you know, we got all the good stuff out there. And then, which of course it's true. It's not like we're lying, you know, nothing's true, but a lot of times we forget to talk about the other stuff, you know, we forget to talk about the dirty laundry. That's like, oh yeah, there was that time when that happened. That was bad. So.
Yeah, it's true. It's like, yep, let's give them the highlight reel indeed. And for some folks, like, let's give them the whole freaking novel and let's see if they read the whole thing. Joke's on them.
Yeah, sometimes it's like, wait, you don't want to ask for the whole story. You might get it. <It's> like, how much time do you have? How long are these episodes?
Oh, man. But hey, the good news is, like, hey, you've done a lot. And the good news is, it's only the beginning indeed. And my goodness, as you know what, actually, you know what? I'll skip that version of the question. I'll ask the other version. So, my goodness, so if you were to describe your journey to the Scott that you are today in three magical words, what would it be and why?
So three words. Oh boy. You know, one sentence I'm used to, but three words. Let me cut that down. I guess one word would be discovery. The second word would be coaching. And the third word would be indirect. That's my three words.
Yeah. So why indirect?
Well, and I mean, that's actually one of the reasons I put the book out. So is, I think a lot of times we think about discovering our call or discovering what we're doing or, you know, figuring out what we want to be when we grow up, however you want to phrase it. We think about it as like the destination. We think about, oh, we're just going to magically discover this. It's going to come down from on high. You know, stone tablets are going to come down. This is your, you know, this is what you're supposed to do. And it's not like that. It's more like putting together a puzzle. The analogy I use in the book is putting together a puzzle. Only it's putting it together a puzzle where the picture on the box cover is changing, and occasionally the pieces in the box are changing. You know, sometimes you have more pieces, sometimes you have less pieces, sometimes you have pieces from another puzzle, you know, whatever, right? It's like, so everything's in flux all the time. And so it's really less of a, this is what I'm meant to do, and more of a discovery journey that I'm still on. And so indirect is, you know, the path that I've taken to get where I am today has not been a straight line, other than when I look back on it, it is a straight line. But it's because that's the path I took. It's not a straight line because I had this real deliberate journey of I'm going to do A, and then I'm going to do B, and then I'm going to do C, and then I'm going to do E, and now I'm going to arrive here. It's more of a discovered B while I was doing A, and then I discovered F and went to F. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, oh, wait, F's not the right direction. Let me go back. You know, let me pivot. Okay, wait. Okay, now, you know, it's that discovery process that I think we forget. And I think that's what frustrates a lot of people, is because they see other people who are doing, you know, doing the thing they're supposed to do. We're sitting over here going, well, I know there's something I'm supposed to be doing, but I don't even know what the heck it is. You know, how do I get there? And that's part of the process that we have to go through to figure out, you know, what it is we're supposed to be doing, at least what it is we're supposed to be doing right now. You know, I'll put that caveat on it, because sometimes that's, you think you've arrived, and then you discover, oh, wait, no, there's more to this. I haven't yet put all the pieces together. You know, the picture changed a little bit on the box cover, and I got to go find some new pieces so I can expand the picture that I'm trying to put together.
There you go. That's right. That's right. Especially when a box cover is really a cereal box, got to read all the ingredients, be like, oh man, I need to put more ingredients into this wonderful box here, metaphorically. It's not the complete cereal yet.
Well, it isn't. It's, you know, the picture's never really complete. The joke I tell people, right, is, you know, are you still sucking wind? Well, then there's still more for you to do. You know, I mean, you're not done yet. You know, when you wake up in the morning and you see flowers instead of roots, there's still work to be done. You know, if you're seeing roots, well, okay, maybe you're done now. You know, now you can rest. And that's not, by the way, that's not the hustle culture. I want to be real clear on that, because that can be misunderstood. This isn't the, you know, work 24/7. You can sleep when you're dead. You know, that kind of mentality. It's. I do not want to push people into that, because that is not a healthy place to be. Instead, it's that realization that no, you know, you're still on a journey. You haven't finished the journey yet. There's still work for you to do. There's still people you can serve. There's still ways you can help. You're not done if you're still breathing.
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. Far from done, indeed. Far from done, indeed. And my goodness, so you got this real, like, energetic style of speaking, my man, and you actually have a background as an educator. So do you have that to thank for, I guess, the Scott that you are today as well? Or is it something else that helped you to be like, you know what, I'm going to be a great presenter, and these folks are going to be in for it?
Well, my mother will tell you that I started speaking when I was about 4, and I haven't shut up yet. But, you know, so I've had lots of practice, right? Some of that is true and some of it's not, but the working as a teacher helped me. When I was working as a teacher, not only did I work with students, but I also did a lot of science systemic reform. So I worked in projects that were redesigning the science system. And at that point I ended up teaching to other teachers. So I've taught you know, in a room of 5,000 teachers. I've been on stage teaching, which is, you know, you want to talk about pressure, right? Be teaching in front of a room of 5,000 teachers, right? You know, you want to talk about an audience that will critique everything you do. And by the way, teachers are the worst audience on the planet because they do every negative thing that they complain about their students doing. They'll do it. You know, it's hilarious. It's really funny. I am not kidding. It's like, you know, they're complaining about their kids not paying attention. They're not going to pay attention. You know, the same thing. So it's that we've done. I've worked in educational testing for a while, and I worked myself up to an executive position. And so I was flying around the country, talking to clients, you know, presenting in front of school boards, doing all of these sorts of things. So a lot of it is just practice. Now, truth be told, I've never really had a, quote, fear of public speaking. I'm not one of those people that was like, oh, if I have to speak in public, I'm going to die. I'm much more of a speaker. And that's just how I process. That's how I think. I talk to think. I'll talk in a room by myself to help me think. You know, I'll go for a walk with my phone and talk into the notes app to help me process and think. It's one reason I started a podcast, because I didn't want to write a blog, because writing to me was painful. So it's like, hey, start a podcast. I get to talk into a microphone. Plays much more to my strengths. Yay, I'll do that. You know, and guess what? The content for my book came from talking into a microphone, doing a podcast. You know, I didn't write a book. I spoke a book, because that's my strength. That's something that I'm good at. That's something I enjoy. That's something that I have the energy from. So it's not even just one thing. It's come from a lot of different things. But notice in there, the real pattern to notice is that I identified quickly that this was something I was good at. This is something I enjoyed. This was something that I had some natural talent to. And then I leaned into that and said, let me get better at that. Let me do more of that. Let me go out of my way to find opportunities to practice that more, to do that more. By the way, I was in speech therapy as a kid. Okay. So I literally had certain speech impediments. You'll still hear them today. If you listen carefully, you'll notice that there's things that I do, like verbal tics that I have, because I've still got some of those underlying things that I worked on as a young kid to overcome from a speech therapy point of view. But I also now have learned skills and coping things and things that I can do to manage those, so I can still stand up on an audience and speak in front of them and do those things and actually get around pretty good. So it's not a matter of this was the one perfect thing, that everything was aligned where this would be the one thing I could do. It's more of, hey, I like this. I enjoy this. It's fun to me. Now let me lean into it and get better at it.
Yeah, there you go. That's right indeed. He's leaning into it and getting lean at it. Y'all, that's right indeed. Getting leaner and meaner. That's right indeed. The good mean, not the bad mean.
Yeah, you got to qualify that, right? It's like, you're bad. Oh, I'm bad? No, bad, good. Good, bad? No, bad, good. Wait, what? You know, it's like, you know. Yeah, and I was a school teacher, so I'm very familiar with the fact that sometimes I'm talked to and it's like, I have no earthly idea what you just said to me. There were words. You're gonna have to give me the subtitles, because I don't know. I have no clue what you said.
Okay, indeed. All the generations on top of generations with the new swag.
Yeah, it's always been that way. Every generation invents words, and we do it so that we're special and different, and you know, the adults don't understand what we're saying, and then the next generation comes along and invents a whole new set. Guess what? The same things that we complain about the young people today, they're going to be complaining about the young people tomorrow. You know, I actually had a sheet one time that I'd done where I went and got quotes that basically all boiled down to some version of the world is just going to fall apart because of this younger generation. I literally had them from every generation going all the way back to Aristotle. So, you know, at least since the Greek times, people have been saying, oh, no, the world's going to end. These younger people just don't know what they're doing. Guess what? It's not true. It wasn't true then. It still isn't.
So that means keep hope alive then, y'all. That's right indeed. Keep hope alive. We're not doomed yet. We're good.
Keep moving forward there. The world is not ending yet. I'll tell you like I used to tell my students, there will be an announcement when it is time to panic.
You just hear it over a random PA system in the sky. It's like, hey, you can panic now.
Now it's time. I'm like, until you hear me say it, it's not time to panic. We're good. Keep moving forward.
Well, speaking of keeping moving forward, you're able to transition into full-time entrepreneurship, man. So how was that transition like, especially for those who are listening or still maybe on that fence trying to make that jump themselves?
So first off, there is no one perfect way to make that transition. I'll caveat that. So this was what happened for me. Don't hear in this, oh, that's how I have to do it. Because I've worked with a lot of clients actually making that transition. That's something that, for whatever reason, I attract a certain number of people that want my help because that's what they want to do. They want to transition from corporate to doing their own thing. And part of that transition, you know, backing up for me, it was first, I was in a pretty high-end executive position, very well compensated. And here's the kicker. I actually didn't hate what I did. I actually enjoyed it. I really enjoyed parts of the job. And guess what? For a lot of us, that's true. There's things that we love. And so I had to do some soul searching where I went back through the past and I started looking at it and saying, what are the things that I've done that have really fed my soul, given me energy, turned me on? I've been good at it. You know, they're the things that I've been like, oh man, this feeds me. This feeds my soul. This gives me energy. Versus what are the things that I've done that were kind of like a little draining, not the most enjoyable. And as I did that, I started to notice the pattern was anytime I was working with someone and able to pour into them and help their development, move them up. The reason I'd been put in the position I was in, because I literally was promoted over people that had much more experience than I did. But what I was good at was building up other leaders. So I was put in a position where my job was to build up the other leaders. You know, that's really what I needed to do. So I didn't have all of the on paper, some of the experience in terms of years doing the job, but I did have a gift in building leaders. And they recognized that. And so that's why they put me in the position. Literally, one of the people that I beat out for the position actually became a direct report. They like were reporting to me, you know, so you want to talk about uncomfortable, right? And by the way, we eventually came to a good position and he came in my office one day and said, I am so glad that you got this position and not me. You're much better at it than I am. You know, so it took about a year, but we got to a point where, okay, we can do this. So I was in that kind of position. And so I started doing that soul searching. And as I found that, what I discovered is that coaching aspect, that's really what I'm talking about. That chance to work with somebody else and build them up was the part that most fed my soul. So I started doing that on the side. I started in 2011. I just put my shingle out and said, hey, I'm, you know, a coach. This is what I do. And I actually started in the area of financial coaching. So I started working with people on money. At the first part, I was working with individuals. And then I started working with small business owners and people in transition. And then I added time where I started helping people with productivity, because what I discovered was a lot of the same limiting beliefs and mental blocks and those sorts of things that held us back in the money department were very similar to the things that were holding us back in the time department. So I did a lot of research, did a lot of studying, went through trainings, did all these different things. And I just began to do that with my clients and the business began to grow. In the meantime, I actually got promoted to an even more senior position and my hours went from 60 hours a week to 80 hours a week. And so my side hustle slowed down a little bit. But then I began to realize, wait a minute, this isn't, you know, now I'm liking my job less because I'm not able to do this thing on the side that really feeds my soul. And so I literally trained up my replacement and I gave a 1 year notice to the company and I said, in a year, I'm not going to be here anymore in writing, and then said, we need to train my replacement. I did that. Took me about 3 months, got them into the position. I worked another 3 months kind of supporting them. I stepped down to a less senior position. Then I stepped down to part-time, and then I left. That whole journey from starting coaching part-time to being gone took 6 years. I left in 2017. About 2 years of that, I was kind of on pause when I went to the 80 hours a week job, because all of a sudden, what I had to do is figure out, how do I get this 80-hour a week job back down to a 60-hour a week job? You know, so I had to rebuild all the systems and processes and everything that I was doing. Happens to a lot of us. We get promoted to a new position And the norm is, well, you just work extra. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that forever. You know, this is not sustainable for the next 40 years. What can I do? So I literally rebuilt the job so that it would actually take 60 hours a week. How did I do that? I built up other people to take over part of the load, which, you know, and got them able to do more and more of the stuff. Well, now I'm not as needed. You know, my joke is the best way to get promoted is actually make your job not needed anymore. You know, basically train other people that they can do your job. Now you're free to go up the ladder as opposed to down the ladder. In my case, I didn't go up the ladder. I kind of reversed the corporate ladder climb and went back down the corporate ladder and then left. And I've been doing the coaching full time ever since. Worked with clients in 16 countries. I've, you know, worked with about 1,000 clients now. I could give you the exact number if I needed to, but around 1,000 clients now, 1,000 plus. You know, I've been doing this now, and this is what I love. This is what I was meant to do, at least for this point in my life.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, Dave. It's like, yep, time to climb this ladder, baby. It's like, nope, this ain't it. Let me go back down. All right.
Yep.
Let me switch it in reverse too.
I was climbing the ladder. Well, and that's the funny thing is when you do that, when you suddenly say, wait a minute, I want to go back down the corporate ladder, it's weird. I mean, people look at you and are like, wait, what? You want to do what? You know, you want to give up this, look, it's a dream job. You know, you're giving up the dream job. And it's like, yeah, well, it might be your dream job, but it isn't mine. So it's okay if I give it up. And again, it's not because I hated it. I actually loved a lot about my job. So I wasn't leaving something. I've always been blessed to leave something that I loved to go to something that I love more. Not the story for everybody. Some of us are leaving something we hate. But oftentimes I point out to people, if the only reason you want to leave is because you want to get away from something, you need to first figure out where do you want to go to. You should always be going towards something, not running away from something. Running away is fear driven. Going towards is more self-driven or directed or more moving towards a vocation. You're doing the work, the hard work to figure out, wait, whoa. Not what do I want to leave, but what do I actually want to move towards? And that's, again, putting that puzzle together. Moving towards things is how you figure out, oh, wait, that piece doesn't belong here. I need this piece instead. Okay, let me move towards something that puts that piece in my box. And that's the actual way to grow, as opposed to just bounce around from thing to thing, which so many of us do in today's world.
There you go, straight indeed, my man, bringing the gems, y'all. Scott bringing those gems, indeed, straight indeed. You got to move towards something, y'all. That's right indeed. Folks are like, man, I am moving towards something, the door. It's like, no, you got to focus on something beyond the door.
That doesn't count. Yeah. You got to tell me what's on the other side of the door first, and then now we'll talk. But the reason we don't do that is because that's hard. I mean, honestly, let's be transparent. It's hard. It is hard to figure out what you want to go towards. It's hard to figure out. You know, I've got a young son. He's turning 21 next month. And, you know, he's still figuring out what he wants to be when he grows up. I'm 50 something years old. I'm still figuring out what I want to be when I grow up. You know, that journey doesn't ever really end. We're always trying to figure out a little bit more of what are we moving towards? What are we putting into our toolbox? What are we adding to? If you're not growing, you're dying. You know, that's the cliche, but it's true. You've got to constantly be finding those things that feed you and that grow you. And then you don't want to hold on to those things. You want to find a way to pour them out into others. And if you're doing those two things, man, now that's when all of a sudden something's happening. Now you're actually doing something that's moving you towards a vocation or a calling as opposed to just a career. You know, that vocation is something different than your career. Career is just what you get paid to do. Vocation is what you're meant to do. And they may overlap completely 100%. They may not, you know, there may be pieces that overlap and pieces that don't, but it's figuring out the vocation. That's sort of the why behind the what, right? That's the why am I doing this thing as opposed to just what am I doing right now? The what is just the assignment, the career, the moment thing that can change one time, 50 times, 100 times, every 10 minutes. the deeper part, that doesn't change as quickly. That's the part that, and that's the part that's hard to get to. That's the part that's hard to figure out.
So I read about that in days. I read about that in days. Like, oh, yep. Growing up, you're thinking, oh, yeah, these grown-ups know what the heck they're doing. It's like, nope, they don't
No, they
really
don't.
know what they're doing. It's like, yep, they need that wonderful direction, that direction north indeed. And the good news is you're probably helping folks to do it because now you're officially part of the business of immortality, which your wonderful book inspired living, my man. So what led you to finally hit that publish button and get to the victory line, my man? It's probably been on your heart for years to get a book out there.
Absolutely. Yeah, the joke is, how long did it take you to write the book? I'm like 30 something years, roughly. The actual book writing process took about 2.5 years, so from deciding I am going to write a book to the book being in print and available for sale took about 2.5 years. But really the book took 30 plus years because years ago, I've always had that idea, and I think most of us have things that we're like, "Oh yeah, this should be in print." So I wish somebody would have written this down so I could have read it. That's really what this is. This is me talking back to my 25-year-old, 30-year-old self, going, "Hey, if you would have known some of this stuff, you still would have gone through a lot of that indirect that I was talking about early, but not all of it." You would have skipped some of these steps because you would have been able to go, "Oh yeah, that's the direction I need to be going a lot quicker." And so I really just sat down to put that together because I wanted to be able to help other folks that are in that place where they know there's something they're supposed to be doing. They may even have some inklings about what it's supposed to look like, but they constantly are feeling like, "I don't have enough time, I don't have enough money, I don't really have the energy to do it. How am I ever going to be doing the thing that I'm supposed to be doing because this stuff is keeping me stuck?" And how can you master those areas of what I call time, talent, and treasures? That's why I call myself a stewardship coach, money, productivity. But really, the trick is we're working on talent all the time because at the end of the day, the way you handle your time and the way you handle your money is actually about how you handle yourself. Because we don't manage time, we manage how we use time. We don't manage money, we manage how we use money. So it's really about us all the time. And so that's what this book kind of walks you through, is how do you examine those three areas? What are some things you can put in place to find out more about what you're doing, find out more about what's holding you back, and then actually take steps to overcome that so that you can begin actually moving towards what you're supposed to be doing.
So I'm talking about indeed. That's right. Just like the cows, what's moving? That's right, indeed, the move. So, what would you consider one of the biggest insights you learned about yourself through the whole 2.5 year writing process?
That I needed help. I think,
Yeah, we all do.
Yeah, but I think that's one of the things that holds us back from doing things that we're supposed to be doing. So in my case, again, circle back to earlier. Remember, I started a podcast because I don't like to write. I don't like to write. But what I have done is build a network of people through the podcast and through other things that have skills that I don't have. And so I found a partner. His name is Nick. And I said, "Okay, Nick, I know you help other people write books. I need your help. How do we do this?" And so he coached me through the process. He helped me with the writing. He actually introduced me to a publisher. He walked me through the whole process. And I'm a coach. I needed help with something. So what I did was hire a coach, because guess what? I believe in the power of coaching. Be kind of hypocritical if I didn't. Given that I'm a coach, but you'd be surprised at how many coaches have never had a coach in their life, which always kind of freaks me out. It's like, wait, don't you believe in coaching? Yes. Why haven't you ever hired a coach? That's a conversation for another day. So I hired him. He started working with me. We started pulling content from the podcast, putting everything together. We went back and forth. We edited, we revised, we changed. We started with an outline, built all the pieces, and then that process took most of a year. and then actually getting it to the publisher, going through their parts of the process, because you know they're going to do additional work, and we have to pick a cover and titles and what's going to be on the back of the book, what's going to be on the front of the book, who's going to endorse it, and you know all of that stuff. That took the rest of the time. You know, that took about another year, and then actually getting it printed and available in bookstores and on Amazon and all of that takes about 6 months. So that's where the 2.5 years came from. But, you know, the actual writing was about a year's worth of work. And in my case, you know, I did it the way I tell other people to do it. If it's not your strength, if it's not your gifting, find somebody who has that strength and find a way to partner with them, you know, that works for both of you. That could be hiring them, that could be paying them, that could be doing some sort of JV relation, whatever. Find a way. There is a way to bring people into your circle that know more than you in that area and use them to help you grow. Again, that's what I do as a coach. That's what I expect other people to do as well whenever they have that gifting. And that's exactly what I did to bring the book to fruition.
That's what I'm talking about, dude. So since the man's basically going on a tour promoting the good work you're doing with your book, especially on podcasts and dude, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often when you're on the guest side of the game?
Ooh, you know, I think a lot of it is, you know, for me, I guess the answer to the question, I'm not sure what the question would actually be, but the thing that doesn't get asked a lot is, you know, people ask, how did the book come about? Why did you write the book? That sort of thing. But for me, the fact is that the book is also a way of taking ideas that for me were really hard to find. Again, I spent 30 plus years, 35 years coming up with some of these things. They're things that I've pulled from conversations I've had, from books I've read, from ideas that I had whenever I read that book and I read that book and I went, wait a minute, let's put those two things together. And this is a different way of looking at it, you know, because he looks at it that way, she looks at it that way. Let's merge those or let's blend those. So it's not, because everyone always wants to know what's new or what's unique or what's different. And there are things in the book that are repetitive or that you've probably heard before, or you've seen before, or you've done before. But I think what I've done and what I've really challenged myself to do with the book is blend ideas that you've probably heard idea A and you've probably heard idea B, but you maybe didn't do that step of putting them together. And as a coach, that's one of the things that I'm good at, is taking, hearing the client say this and this and going, wait a minute, let's put those, you know, let's find a way to do, because we tend to put things into either or categories. We tend to say, you know, we can either do this or we can do that. And I'm a big proponent of finding the both and, finding a way to blend them, finding a way to bring them both together. You know, why can't you do both of those things? Let's find a way to do both. Because we tend to put things in boxes when in reality, I think a lot of what we're driven to do is blend things and pull things together as opposed to separating them. That shows up in this book, and that's actually my second book is going to be on finding the both and. I'm already working on it. I don't know exactly what the title is going to be or when it's going to come. None of that stuff, you know, but that idea of finding the both and is going to show up in the next book as well. It started in this book. I don't think I would have written that. You know, in other words, that wasn't the first book I should have written. That's going to be the second book, because the idea of that came in part from writing this book.
Yeah, me lucky. Well, there we go. The PB&J with some extra J. That's right.
Peanut butter and jam?
Yeah, jam or jelly, whichever one you prefer. You can jam out or be jellied about it. It's either way.
Either one works, right?
That's right indeed. So sounds like the excitement's already great for book two, and folks haven't even read book one yet.
I haven't even got book one out yet. For it. Like, book one's not even published yet. You're already talking about the second book. Yeah, there's a second book. I already know that. You know? But I actually heard that from a lot of writers, that in writing their first book, they discover their second book. It's very common. So again, for those of you that are like, you know, oh, I've always thought I should write a book. Yeah, write it. Because what you'll discover is there's more there. Always, there's more there.
That's right. And then there's more. That's right. That's right, indeed. There's more indeed. There's more indeed. Well, speaking of books, then your magical first book indeed. Fun question for you about the book. Before folks even get the magical hands on it, they probably want to metaphorically taste it. So if your fabulous book, Inspired Living, Assembling the Puzzle of Your Calling by Mastering Your Time, Your Talent, and Your Treasures, if that book were a food, what would it be and why?
It would probably be goulash, as it's got a little bit of everything, but it's and it's really, you know, it's full filling. It's got a lot of meat and veggies and all of those things in there that would fill you up and get you ready for the day, stick with you a little bit. But it's also that thing that's just kind of pulled together from whatever was in the, you know, it's pulled together from a lot of different stuff. You know, what do we have today? Goulash is never the same twice, and there's a little bit of that here too, where it's like, you know, what am I pulling together into this mix that's maybe a little different than you've heard it before?
There we go. First ever guest to say goulash. That's right, indeed.
Maybe I'm hungry. I don't know.
That just means one of the side effects kicked in of guesting on his
You get hungry. You gotta go. You gotta go have a snack after the show.
podcast. You get hungry. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed.
Maybe
Well,
you should
speaking
put that as your tagline. You know, listen to the
of.
Going North podcast. You gotta have a snack.
There you go. I have a book and a snack, y'all. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. You'll be snacking all day, especially depending on the level of knowledge. Like, all right, cool. If they got a whole bunch of books, you're going to be in for a good time. That's right, indeed. If you got one good book, you're going to be in for a great time. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Well, since you're fellow podcast host, always got to ask one of those obligatory questions. So, my goodness, what would you consider your top three lessons from starting, growing, and managing your podcast, my man?
Top three lessons. The first one is don't be afraid to reach out to the person that you think will never answer you. I think a lot of times we self-filter. We're like, oh, I could never reach out to fill in the blank. You know, I'm just a little guy. They'll not talk to me. You would be surprised at the, you know, not only the guests that have come on, but just the other help that I've gotten from people just by asking. So that's the first one. Don't be afraid to ask, even if you think it's out of your league. The second one is everyone has a story. Everyone has something that they can share. There is, everyone always wants to know, like, you know, who was your best guest or who was this or that or what was it like having that person on? I've interviewed some folks that have very little audience, very little thing, you know, they're not the big players. And then I've interviewed some folks that are big names. Here's the thing, everyone has a story, everyone has something that you can take from. Everyone has something that you can listen to and hear and go, wow, you know, that's something new. I'd never heard that before, or I've never felt that before, or wow, you went through that, you know, and this is where you ended up, and this is the journey you've been on. So I love asking people about their journey, and I've discovered that everybody has one. Everyone has a story. And then the last one, I guess the third thing is that do it, and this kind of goes to the podcast for me, but it goes for other folks. So I started the podcast January 8th of 2018, and I committed to doing it for 6 months and figure out whether I liked it or not. As Dom said, I've got, you know, over 1400 episodes. I've been doing it since 2018. I've been doing it, at one point I was doing it 6 days a week. I've now dropped back down to three, but you know, I was doing it 6 days a week for a long time. So I guess it's that idea of find things and commit to them for a period of time to figure out whether you really, you know, is this what I'm supposed to be doing or not? It's that idea of experimentation, of finding the new things. I've experimented with the podcast while I'm doing it. You know, there again, I was doing it 6 days a week for a while. Now I'm doing it three. You know, it looks different today than it did a year ago. It's that idea of constantly tinkering, constantly experimenting to find the things that are you're really meant to do.
Yeah, that's right indeed. That's Certain days. I mean, it's buy a lab coat if you want to start a podcast, y'all. You're going to be experimenting.
Buy a
So.
lab coat if you want to live a life. You know, again, I'm talking about it in the context of the podcast, but the truth is that's kind of part of what I do as a coach, part of what I do for my own life, part of what I do with my clients is we're always trying to find the edges and experiment on those edges, you know. And for me, having it framed as an experiment lets me do it because now whatever happens, it's not good, it's not bad, it's just data, it's information. I'm just finding something out, you know. What I may find out is, oh, I hate this. What I may find out is, oh, I love this. But it doesn't matter because I'm finding it out. It's the finding out that's important. It's not putting the value on it of this is good, this is bad.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, dude. I'm talking about, dude. That's right, dude. Well, usually I go to the wonderful question everybody gets to answer, but hey, such a fellow Christian, always invite fellow Christians to share the salvation testimony, how they come to know Christ. So, man, so how'd you come to know Christ, Scott?
So I've had, and that's another one where indirect is a good word to add. So I grew up in a Christian home, grew up in a Christian church, had, baptized as a teenager, you know, did all of those things. And some things happened. I'm not going to go into a lot of the detail, but I had some experiences, not with the church, but with people in the church. And I think that's not an uncommon experience. I was always a studier. I was always somebody that, you know, wanted to look into other things and read about other faiths, visited other churches, you know, even people that weren't Christian. It was interesting to me to, again, meet people and hear their story and hear their journey and hear their message. And because of that, I was told by some folks things like, well, you know, if you even think about reading that book, you're going to go to hell, you know, that kind of thing. And because of that, I drifted away from the church in college and eventually kind of started calling myself an atheist. Really, I was an agnostic, but I started calling myself an atheist. I still was studying religion. I still was reading the books. I still was reading the Bible and other things. I still kind of thought there was a God, but also kind of didn't. And I went through a long period of time where I moved away from the church as far as I thought I could. And 20 plus years of not setting foot in a church, not believing, not doing anything else, drifting away, but still spiritual and still studying it. And my wife and I got married. For both of us, this is our second marriage. And we got married back in 96. And she was a very firm believer. But she respected the fact that I wasn't and didn't want to go to church and that kind of thing. And over time, we eventually found a little small house church that was run actually by my son's karate teacher. And
oh, wow.
I'm like, hey, why don't we come here? And she's like, okay, you know, basically she's been wanting me to go to church for a long time, but she wasn't pushing on it. So we started going there and it kind of reintroduced me to the idea of community and made me realize that even though I was studying and on a spiritual journey myself, we're meant to do it in community. We're meant to do it with other people. It's not a solo game. And because of that, we eventually returned back to the Methodist church, which was actually the church I was raised in. There's a Methodist church literally 2 minutes from our house. So we walk to church in the morning. And I'm the conference director of Lay Servant Ministries for the conference down here. I serve on multiple boards. I teach a lot of other lay people. Hear the theme. I teach a lot of other lay people how to preach and how to do other things and serve in the church. So I went from involved in the church, 20 plus years have gone back to the church and all in and kind of leading again and working in community and developing other leaders in community with the idea that, you know, at the end of the day, for me at least, part of the journey that I'm on is about community. Now, don't get me wrong. I still have problems sometimes with the people and the church and decisions that are made and arguments that are had and all of the other stuff that comes with being with other people. But I've come to a different place where I look at it and go, you know, I'm never going to find the perfect church because there's people in them and, you know, people aren't perfect. So I can forgive what they do that I think is wrong and I can forgive what I do that I think is wrong, and we can still be in community together. So I'm really big on doing things ecumenically, finding ways to, let's find what we have in common and work together instead of always focusing on what's different and what we don't like about each other and that kind of thing. And so I do a lot of outreach across, you know, different denominations and do a lot of different things like that, because for me, that's really what it means. That's what community means, is not necessarily agreeing on everything, but at least agreeing to work together anyway. Cause at the end of the day, we all love God, we all love Christ, and we all want to be in service to each other together.
That's what I'm talking about. Indeed. I guess the name of the game was No Escape.
Yeah, my pastor one time said, "You're either all in or you're all out, aren't you?" I'm like, "Yeah, pretty much." you don't really do things halfway, do you? I'm like, "No, unfortunately, I don't. I'm sorry."
I guess in this case, fortunately.
just kind of comes with the territory, unfortunately.
Hey, sounds like good territory to be. So my goodness, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is, if you don't wake up tomorrow and you're 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
So if I'm 25 but it's still 2024, huh?
Yep.
You know, a lot of it would be to do the hard work of figuring you out faster. So I think a lot of times as young people, we look outside of ourselves for the answers to the questions. You know, we want to go to college so that they can tell us what we're going to do when we grow up, or we want to go to, you know, this place so we can do that, or we want to get this job so that we can get that thing. You know, it's all outside. And I think a lot of the hard work that gets you where you need to be happens inside, but we avoid it. So I think I'd probably advise myself to start with that inside work a lot faster and a lot harder and a lot earlier than I really did.
There you go. That's right indeed. Pull out that golden shovel, y'all. Start digging. That's right indeed. See what you like. See what you don't like. Indeed. That's right. That's right indeed. Keep on the lab coat from earlier. That's right. Go on the experiments. That's right indeed. The good experiments. Indeed. That's right indeed. It's almost a hard work. Might even be a whole boulder, but hey, it'll be worth it indeed. It'll be worth it indeed. So my goodness, folks need to keep in contact with you and all the wonderful things that you do, my man. So for those who need to do just that and cop some copies of your magical book, what's the best way for folks to do so, Scott?
So I actually put together a page just for your listeners. If they go over to inspiredstewardship.com/goingnorth, then they'll actually find a landing page there. It has a little bit of information where they can get a taste for some of the tips and things that I talk about in the book. They can sign up for that. They can buy the book there. They can find more information about the podcast, you know, basically some free gifts for them. There's even a way they could set up and have a quick chat with me if they're interested in learning more about coaching and finding out more about what I do. So no pressure, no hard sell. There's nothing on there that'll cost you any money. It's just all, unless you buy the book. And then it's all just the free resources. And then, of course, how to find the book as well there.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about, Dave. I'm talking about, Dave. That's right. I told y'all, y'all are in for a treat that's good enough to eat. That's right, indeed. Even got a special link in days. So click on it, y'all. See what you can find, indeed. Cop a copy of the book. Share it with your friends, family, cat, dog, penguin, camel. Heck, maybe even orangutan and a platypus, indeed. Let that platypus be inspired, y'all. That's right, indeed. Let it know that, hey, I got a talent for this duck bill for a reason. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. It's got a treasure in there, too. That's right, indeed. Although it has a poisonous one too, so avoid that one.
True.
Yes, it is. My goodness. So before a wonderful kangaroo tries to join the party, any parting words before we close up shop, Scott?
I hope everybody has gotten some value from this and found something, you know, even if you just got one useful nugget, you know, again, I'd love it if you picked up a copy of the book, but even if you don't do that, I hope you got some value from this and something that helps you on that path as you assemble that puzzle that we've been talking about and try to figure out a little bit about what do I want to be when I grow up? And again, I don't care if you're 22, 12, or 102, you can still be asking that question, because if you're sucking wind, there's still work to be done.
If you're listening to this, that means you're one cool individual. If you want to be cooler than two cucumbers, share this episode with someone that you think will enjoy it too. And be sure to subscribe and keep being cool.